Begin the current daf Masechta Chulin daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. Begin on the second line daf at the top of the Yamin. But the Gemara continues explaining the previous brisa that we quoted on the previous daf, which we had introduced that brisa, because it was from that brisa that we inferred to explain who's the Tana of our Mishnah that it holds that if someone slaughters with something that's attached to the ground like a rock or like a reed, that it's going to be a vowed shechita only after the fact, which we said is going to be Rebbe. So although we said that Rebbe holds that if you slaughter with something attached to the ground, it's actually possibly Medieved, the Gemara inferred from this last brisa that that's only something that was Mechubim Meikar, it was always attached. But something that was Talush, L'Vasev Chibrei, was detached and then reattached, that's something that he holds that would be Kasher Medieved. That's how we prove from this brisa that Rebbe the Tana of a Mishnah. Now, however, in that brisa, Amma, the Tana of the brisa had said, Hashechid b'muchani, if someone slaughters with a wheel, shechitasik sher, it's a valid shechita, meaning if you put a knife in the wheel and then you turn the wheel and it slaughters the neck of the animal, it's a valid shechita. That is the Gemara v'tanya shechitasa b'sula, but we learned in the Braisa that says it's invalid. Which one is it? Says the Gemara, lekash is not difficulty. Ha, the first Braisa is b'sarna defachara. It's talking about the wheel of those who form pottery, which they have a wheel that they turn, which then carves out the vessel itself. Which there the shechit is going to be kosher, because it's a person that's turning the wheel, it's coming from the strength, from the movement of a person that's slaughtering the animal. Ha, besarna demaya, the second brace is talking about a wheel that turns by the water. There the slaughtering is going to be invalid, because it's the water that's turning it, and the slaughtering is now coming what's called mikaycha adam, from the strength, from the power, from the movement of a person. Where Mishnah teaches us later on the Flamin Aleph, Flamin Aleph, if a knife falls and it slaughters an animal, it's going to be invalid shechita, like the Pasuk says, v'zavachta v'yachalta. What you slaughter, you eat, but if you don't slaughter, but if it gets slaughtered by water or by gravity, then it's going to be invalid. Or if you want, says the Gemara, you could say, that actually, no, both brises, one that says kasha, one that says pasul, are both talking about wheels that turn by the water. V'loi kasha, still it's not difficult. Because ha b'koyach rishon, the first brisa that says it's going to be valid, is talking about the first power, which is immediately right when the person removes the block, the wall, the board that's stopping the water, and then that first push of water that starts turning the wheel, that first movement that then slaughters the animal is coming from a person who it was his movement of removing the board that made that water come out. That's where it's going to be considered a valid shechita. The second brisa is talking about where after the water already turned the wheel once and twice, that already is not from the movement of the person that are removing the board. That's just the actual movement of the water. There it's going to be invalid. As the Gemara says, V'chid ha'dam Rapapa. Like we find this following teaching of Rapapa. It says, Haiman de kavsi l'chabri. Someone that tied down his friend. And then he just has water wash over him because he has water flood over him that he's drowning. Will miss and then the person dies. Chayiv is going to be liable for death for having murdered this person because he literally murdered him with that water. My time, what's the reason? Giri didei hu dehani bei. It's literally his arrows. It was his weapons. It wasn't a causation. It was literally he went and he flooded him with water. He did it. However, that's v'hanemili b'koyach rishon. That's only, as we're explaining this differentiation, in the first power, that first movement, meaning that he tied him down right near the edge of the water, and once he made a hole in the wall that was holding the water, right away that water that comes rushing out immediately, that was the action that the person did. It's like pulling the trigger. I didn't throw the bullet out, I just pulled the trigger. Yeah, but that action goes and makes it come out. That's called koyach adam, that's koyach rishon. But koyach sheni, but if it's the second strength, if it's the second power, meaning where he tied him down at a distance, and then the water gets there, so although he's the one that made the hole, and he made the water get there, however, it's going to be exempt because that's grama ba'almahu. That's just causation. That's not direct action. It's not considered a direct murder, and therefore then he would be exempt, although there's liability, of course, b'dei shemayim for having caused someone's death. That's different between koyach rishon and koyach sheni. So even though they both brises could be from the water, it's a difference if it's the immediate flow of the water, which that would be considered koyach adam, to be chayv misa, and to be considered shechita, versus if it's koyach sheni, which is like a secondary power that comes out of the person's action. Now, continuing on the theme that we mentioned in the previous daf, Yosef Rav Achorid Reb Chiya. Rav was sitting behind Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya came to the Rebbe, and Reb Chiya was in front of Rebbe. So this Rebbe teaching Reb Chiya, and behind Reb Chiya is Rav. The Yasser Rebbe, becoming Rebbe, was sitting, is saying the following halacha. Minayin l'shchita shibetalash. From where do we know that slaughtering has to be with something that's detached from the ground, which is what we had taught in the previous daf? Rebbe's opinion was that it's possible if it's attached, it has to be detached. And Reb Chiya was his disputant who was sitting in front of him. So said Rebbe, Shlema, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, it says Ve'yikach hasamachel l'slishchit, says by Avraham Avinu, by the Akedah, by Har Maria, that it says that he took the knife to slaughter. So you see that slaughtering is with a machel, something that's detached from the ground. So only Rav Reb Chiya, so Rav who was sitting behind Reb Chiya, says my kama, what's he saying? Either that he couldn't hear clearly, or he was asking what exactly is the proof from this pasuk. So Amalei, Reb Chiya said to him, he says yes, Vav d'chsiva ufter kama. In other words, what he was saying is that, yeah, he didn't give a good reasoning, a good rationale. Like writing a vav on a trunk of a tree on a piece of wood where it comes out choppy because of all the different indentations in the bark of the tree where it doesn't come out smooth. Like that's what like the vav looks like. It doesn't look good. So too, or let's say those actually carvings in the wood is actually like a vav. So he was trying to say that he didn't bring a good proof. And that's because Reb Chiya actually disagrees with Rebbe, and he says that actually, as we told in the previous daf, even if you slaughter with something attached to the ground, he says, it is kosher. And therefore he said, yeah, it wasn't a good proof. Now, however, on that asked the Gemara, or according to another interpretation, it was Rav who was asking, but Vahakrakama. But he said a pasuk. How could you say there's no proof? And that says Reb Chiya, Kra Zirusi Davram Kamash Malay. All the pasuk is teaching us is that it's telling us about the alacrity and the carefulness and the meticulousness of Avraham Avinu, where he was concerned and he was careful. Maybe he's not going to find a rock even that's attached to the ground, which Reb Chiya says is valid. So he brought along with him a machelis, a knife, just in case. But that's all it's teaching us. It's teaching us his reasons, not teaching that it has to be detached from the ground. And then Reb Chiya disagreed and he says it wasn't a proof in that pasuk, and that's why he actually disagrees in Allah, and he says that if you slaughter with something attached to the ground, it is valid. Now, continuing on the theme that we mentioned from the previous daf, this idea about Talash al-Basayf Mechubber, which we had actually differentiated in Rebbe to be the Tana of our Mishnah, where we said that although he says Mechubber Mikar, something that's always detached, as we just mentioned now, is going to be possible even be the Eved, but we said that he's the Tana of the Mishnah where you could do it with a rock or a reed that was detached and then reattached, and then it would be Kashub the Eved. So on that topic, Amar Ravi says, Pshitli, it's obvious to me, and he's going to consider this halacha in different contexts. This idea, if something is detached and then reattached, so first he talks about regarding the laws of an idol, of idolatry, which the Gemara tells in Avodah Zarah Daf Mamhei Amud Beis, as we're going to shortly quote, someone worships mountains, the mountains do not become forbidden as idolatry, as an idol usually does become, because the Pasuk says, Es Eloiheyem al Heharim. What becomes forbidden? Their gods on the mountains, but not if the mountains are their gods themselves, only things that are on the mountains. So therefore, that's something like a mountain which was always attached, but something that was detached and then attached, and then when it's attached, he serves it. And that says, Rav, it's obvious to me that Havatalish would be considered something that was detached, and it's going to be forbidden, because like the Pasuk said, Layidbek Biyotcha, you can't have any benefit whatsoever from an idol, from idolatry. And he proves it, because the Amamar, the master, says, Hamishtachave Labaye Shalei Asr. The Halacha has said that if someone bows down, he worships his own house, becomes forbidden, not specifically his own house, because someone else's house, he can't make someone else's thing forbidden, but his own house, where he's the owner of that, if he bows down, he worships his house, it becomes forbidden. Now, says Rava, and a house is something that's detached and then reattached. You take the stones from the ground and you make it into bricks. V'isal k'tay d'chav mechubber. Now, if you would entertain to say that something that was talush u'b'sayf mechubber is considered attached, which is what a house is, so then how could a house become asr, like Avodah Zarah? But like we mentioned, Eloiheyem al Harim, the Pasuk says, what's forbidden as Avodah Zarah? There are gods on the mountains, but not if the mountains themselves are their gods. Something that's attached is not forbidden. Obviously, Talish al-Basayf Mechubber, in regards to Avodah Zarah, is considered Talish and not Mechubber, and therefore it does become asr if someone bows down to his own house. That's regarding Avodah Zarah. Le'inyin Hechsher Zroim, regarding making seeds, edible items, become susceptible to tumah, which Allah requires that they become in contact with one of the seven types of liquids, which is dam and tal, different types of liquids. Regarding this idea of talish b'seif mechubur, tanoihi, it's a machlekes tanoim, if the item that one wants to become wet, if it was first detached and then attached, if we consider that item as attached or detached. In other words, what are we talking about? There's halacha that if someone is machshev, he considers the rain that's coming down because he wants something to get wet. And then afterwards, his produce, his fruits, his vegetables fall into that water. Now, although he didn't know when he at that point in time that his fruits are going to become susceptible to tumah, and they actually didn't even want him to become susceptible to tumah, they're going to be considered susceptible to tumah. Which, as the Mishnah teaches in the beginning of Masechet Machshirin, any liquid that a person initially wants, even if he doesn't want it at the end, but if he initially wanted it for something, so he wants that water, now that water could make the food item susceptible to tumah. Because that's what the Hapasik is. It says, kiyiten, that if a person places this item in water, which we read kiyutan, which is if it's given, but in other words, yutan dum yudiyiten, he wants it, if he wants that water, if he wants it, then it's valid to make his food item susceptible to tumah. That halacha says in the beginning of Masechet Machshirin, that even if he wanted it for something else, but you wanted those waters, that already can make your food item susceptible to tumah. Now, however, the Mishnah there qualifies and says, that's only, however, if what you wanted the water for initially, like the rain coming down, for something that's detached. And this is where the halacha becomes important. Do we consider certain things detached or attached? But if, let's say, he had in mind he wanted it for something that's attached, then it's not considered something valid to makshir his food items, his roim, l'tuma. Because like Braisa teaches in Teres Ka'inim, it says, Ashayavei lav mayim, if water comes on top of his food items, you would think it's even water that's in the pits, in the caves, that it would be makshir his food items for tuma. That's what the pasuk says, kli. It's only if he filled up in a vessel to drink, not if it was water that's there. How do you know, even if, let's say, you want it not just for, you don't want the water just for food items, for drinking, but even if you wanted to make cement out of it or to go ahead and wash clothing or vessels with? That's what it says, b'chol yitma. It's going to be tummy in all situations. So then you would think based on that, that even if it's in pits. That's what it says, meaning in a pit, in a cave, that's what it says, kli. To tell you, just like a vessel is distinct, which it's something that was drawn from the ground, so too it has to be drawn from the ground. It can't be water that was always there. Now, you would think that even if, let's say, someone thinks that if he wants the water to come down for his pit, that it would make it valid, susceptible to tumah. That's a sinash, yashasa. It's only if you filled it up for drinking. How do you know that's even not just for drinking, but even if he wanted to wash off wood or stone? That's what it says, mayim. But one thing we see from this braisa is this idea that it's only if he had in mind that he wanted this rain or whatever water it is for something that was tullish, for something that was detached, then it's going to be makshrid, even at a later point in time, for his food items, that even if he doesn't want it for that, but he wanted it for something that was already tullish. But if he wants it for something that's mechuba, that's attached to the ground, then it's not going to be makshir, his food items for tumah, unless that he desired it later on when his produce fell into that pit, let's say, where then he wanted it for something that's tullish, then it's going to work for that tullish item. As Rashi points out, although the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Tezayin Min Aleph that even mechubarim, even if it's attached to waters, it's going to be machshir. That's only if, A, he was happy when his fruits fell in there, so that was for something of talish, or because when he stuck his hand in to wash it off, he was taking out the produce from the water which fell in, although, the fact that it was mechubar is not going to make it susceptible, but he's happy with washing his hands off. So either way, there's something there that's being used for something that would make it hoksh lekabotumah, but again, it has to be something that's talish and not mechubar. So therefore, on that says Rava, regarding this halacha of talush or besayf mechubar, if it's considered talush or not, that is a machlokes tanoim regarding hechshir zra. It's not like within the Mishnah Masechet Machshirin. It says, hakoifa ka'ara ala kaisel. Someone, let's say, turns over a bowl, a plate on a wall, he's putting the plate on the wall because he wants it to get washed off from, let's say, the rain that's coming down. So says the Mishnah, hariz b'chiyuta. Now, this water will qualify for this category of what we call kiyutan. In other words, if later on that rainwater falls on his produce, even at a later point in time, it's going to make it susceptible to tumah. Why? Because he already had thought regarding these liquids that he wants it to wash off his bowl, his plate. And he wanted that water falling down in it. So even though he didn't think about it and wanted to make his produce susceptible, but that's like we said, that's called kiyutan, where because he wanted those waters when it was falling down, these waters already are able, now potent enough, to make all produce susceptible to tumah. But continues the Mishnah, let's say b'shvil shel yilka ha-kaisel. Let's say he was putting the bowl or the plate over the wall simply because he didn't want the wall to get ruined. And so therefore, rather, the water was, or whatever the liquid was falling on the bowl instead. And then, but from the bowl it went and fell on his produce. Then says the Mishnah, ein b'chiyutan. Then it's not going to be considered a chiyutan. It's not going to make those produce susceptible to tumah because he never wanted that rain. He never wanted it coming down. He actually was trying to just to protect the wall. So then it's not considered a chiyutan. It's not going to make his produce susceptible to tumah. Now, on that says, Rava, Hagufa Kasha. There's an internal contradiction to the inferences of the halacha of this Mishnah. Amrit, you first opened up by saying, let's say you put the plate on the wall, b'shvil shetudach, because you wanted the plate to get washed off. So you said, ha'reza b'chayutan. Then that's considered kiyutan because you wanted this water. You wanted it to wash the plate. Now, but the inference is, ha'b'shvil shetudach ha'kaisel, but that's only if you wanted the plate to get washed. But if, let's say, you wanted the wall to get washed, I mean, why are you putting a plate on the wall if you want the wall to get washed? For example, let's say the liquid, whatever it was, let's say rain, was falling right near the wall, but it wasn't actually hitting the wall. So he puts a bowl or a plate to bring it to the wall. The inference is, if the plate is there to wash off the wall, then ein ze b'chiyutan. Then that would not qualify b'chiyutan. So though you're having in mind that you want the water to wash off the wall, but having in mind for something that's attached to the ground is not considered a consideration until you're actually thinking about it because you want for something detached, like we mentioned before. That's the inference of the Reisha. But then, Bahadutani, then you say the next case, let's say he put the plate on the wall, b'shvil shalayil kaha kaisel, that he doesn't want the wall to get dirty. Oh, then ein b'chiyutan. That's not considered kiyutan. Now, ha, the inference is, but b'shvil shayudach ha-kaisel, let's say he wants the wall to actually get washed, ha-reza b'chiyutan, that will qualify and be makshid as drum. So what's the halacha? When you're putting the plate there so that the wall should get washed, we have contradictory inference from the Reish and the Seif if that's going to be considered kiyutan or not. So Amr Belaza says, Tavra, right, this is most definitely a difficulty between the Reish and the Seif. And you have to say, Misha Shanazu, Le Shanazu. The one who taught the Reish is not the one who taught the Seif. It's actually two Tanoim. One opinion holds that we consider this wall as detached, and therefore it would make it kiyutan. It would be considering that you may makshav the water. And the other inference, the other Tana, holds that no, we consider it attached. The one who considers it detached is because since the wall was never always attached to the ground, because these stones were at one point mined out and then they were attached to make a wall, so it's considered tallish. The other pin who considers it attached because ultimately it's attached. So therefore says Rabbi, that's the Tanoim that we're mentioning that in regards to halacha of Heksha Zroim, if tallish beside mechuber, tallish or mechuber, and that's this machalikis Tanoim. However, a Papa Ami says, no, not necessarily it's a machalikis Tanoim. You could actually say kulecha tanhu, that all these two opinions mentioned in this Mishnah is actually one Tana. And actually everyone holds in the context of Heksha Zroim that Tolesh or Sef Chibra, if someone was detached and then attached, that's considered detached. However, you could answer, ha, the case of the Reisha is because L'ma'ara, is the wall of a cave, which is made by itself, because how do those walls get there? It was never detached and attached. You just carve out into the ground and the wall just stays there as it always was, and that's considered Mechuba Mi'ikara. There, yeah, everyone's going to agree that's considered attached, and therefore, even if you want the wall to get washed, it's not going to be considered kiyuta. How the case of the seifa is because l'binyan is when you have the wall of a building, which those rocks were detached and then made into this wall, and that's where it's going to be considered kiyuta. And this is how you read the brisa that hakoifa ka'ara, and how you read the Mishnah Machshirin. Hakayfa ka'ara ala kaisel, if someone turns over a bowl on a wall, b'shvil shetudach, where if you want that bowl, that plate to get washed. So, like the Mishnah says, hareza b'chiyutan. So that's going to qualify for sure that you want that water, you have a makshav that water, it's going to make your zroim hokshulatom. Now, but the inference is, as we said, ha'b'shvil shetudach ha'kaisel, let's say you're putting the plate so that the wall should get washed, not the plate. The inference is, ein ze b'chiyutan. That's not going to qualify as kiyutan. Now, that the qualification is b'med of a moment. When do we say this halacha? The reisha because the ma'ara, the wall of a cave. Yeah, so that wall is mechuba mikara. That's obviously, as we said in the Bryce and Teres Kain, it's only qualified if it's for something tallish, and this is always definitely an absolute mechuba. However, of b'kaisel binyan, that's where the sefer goes now. But the wall of a building, there b'shvil shalayil ka kaisel. There only if you don't want the wall to get ruined. That's where you don't want the water at all. That's where huda in b'chiyutan. That's not going to qualify for kiyutan. But the inference is, as we said, but if you want the wall to get washed, would you desire it? You're thinking about it. You want it for the utility of the wall. Then hareza b'chiyutan. Then that will qualify as kiyutan. It will make the zroyim hoksh l'tumah, like we said, because that's talush l'b'sef chibroy. We could say in this halacha, everyone agrees talush l'b'sef chibroy is going to be considered as talush in the context of heksha zroyim. So then, so far we spoke about avodah zara and regarding making food items susceptible to tumah. And that continues, boy Rava. So those were two definitive halachas Rava said. But now Rava asks as a question, as a ketin tamid beis. This halacha of talosh l'b'sayv chibrei, something that was detached and then attached, le'inyan shchitemai. What's the halacha regarding slaughtering? And now, as the Gemara will shortly explain from previous concepts we had mentioned before, Rava cannot prove it, although similarly we had explained previously that it's obvious the halacha regarding Tala Shel B'Seif Chibur. So Gemara says, Tashema. The Gemara says, let's bring a raya. As we mentioned this brisa previously, the brisa says, Hayitzar Yoytzim in HaKais, the lift is a ra coming out of the wall. Aisha Yikon Oilim Eilav, or the reed coming out by itself from the ground. Vishachah Bani slaughters with it. So the brisa says, Shchitas Ipsula, the slaughtering is invalid. So you see clearly that if you have something like a rock in a wall, in the building, which is Talash Abseif Chibrei, that it's going to be invalid. That's going to be considered as Mechubber and not as Talash. Says Gemara Nahach Ma'iskin, what are we talking about over here is B'Kais Ma'ara. We're talking about the wall of a cave, which that was always Mechubber Mikara. Oh, that's where the halacha would be, that's going to be Pasal. But maybe Talash Abseif Chibrei actually would be Talash, would be Kasher. And says the Gemara Dekanami, actually a precise reading indicates this too, because Diktani Dumi Dekana Oilame Elam. The other case mentioned in the Brisa right there is a reed that comes out by itself. Which Shmamina obviously is by itself meaning that a person didn't put it in there. It's not Talash Shel B'Seif Chibrei, it was Mechubber Mikara. Yeah, there it's going to be possible, but maybe Talash Shel B'Seif Chibrei, according to Rebbe, actually maybe it would be Kashrut. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's make a different raya. The Braisa says over there, Notz Sakin B'Kais L'Veshachet Ba, if he stuck a knife into a wall, and he slaughtered with that, meaning he brought the neck of the animal to that knife, Shechitasik Shera, the slaughtering is valid. Now a knife in the wall is something that was detached and then attached, so you see that is valid, that is considered talish. Says, you want to know, shani sakin, a knife is different, and we alluded to this in the previous daf, delay mevatale, because it's not really your classic talish b'seif chibrei, because it's not really even chibrei, because you're not really nullifying a knife, you're not keeping there, let's say a rock, even though it's detached and you're attaching it, you'll leave it there. So maybe there, in a classic talish b'seif chibrei, it would not be considered talish. Oh, but here by a knife, yeah, it'll be considered talish because it's not really part of the wall, maybe that's why it's kosher, and therefore it doesn't answer for a regular generic talish b'seif chibrei. Someone says, Tashma, let's make a different raya. It says within that price, but Mechubel HaKarka, if you slaughter something attached to the ground, Shechitasik Shera, the slaughtering is going to be valid. And we had explained previously that that's a case of Talash B'Seif Chibrei, because we had said that this time, that price is like Rebbe, and Rebbe holds it, but it was always attached to the ground, it's going to be possibly even B'Dieven. So here that saying it's Kasher, is obviously, you see Talash B'Seif Chibrei, and this was the question we were alluding to when we were saying, what do we mean, we had already proved this point previously, that you see that Rebbe holds Talash B'Seif Chibrei, it's going to be considered Talash, and it's going to be Kasher. However, on that the Gemara says, no, it wasn't so obvious to Rava. Because Dilma Perusha Kumafarashla. Maybe the Seifa, which is the next case, is actually qualifying this halacha that we're trying to say from a Chubla Karka. Meaning, the Brisa is saying that I said Mechubla Karka is going to be Kasher. On that the Brisa explains, my Mechubla Karka, what's this case of slaughtering with something that's attached to the ground? Which was Talash Shel B'Seif Chibrei, that I'm telling you that it's kosher? That's, for example, specifically if you go ahead and you stick a sakin, a knife into the wall, where, like we said, that's not really considered totally attached, because there, most definitely, delay mevatale. He's not nullifying and keeping it over there. Because actually, these two cases are right near each other in the Braisa. Noit sakin b'kaisel, which we tried to bring a raya from before, is the seifa of this, the next line of this case of Mechubel HaKarka. And you could say that it's just qualifying, and therefore it wouldn't be a raya for your classic Talash B'Seif Chibrei. Because maybe only the case of like a knife that's Mechubel HaKarka is going to be kosher, because you're not really keeping it there, so it's like Talash. But maybe a regular Talash B'Seif Chibrei would be considered Mechubel, and therefore Rava doesn't have an answer for his question, what is the halacha by Shechita of Talash B'Seif Chibrei? And the Gemara goes back to explain the halacha of the Braisa, which is quoted now, we mentioned previously. Amamah, the time the Braisa said, Notz sakin b'kaisel b'shachet b'av. Someone sticks a knife into the wall and he slaughters with it. Shechitasik shere, it's going to be a valid shechita, which, whether that's your classic Talash Shel B'Seif Chibrei or it's something unique about a knife, but it's going to be valid even though you're not moving the knife, it's in the wall itself. Now, however, Amar of Anan, Amar Shmuel, he qualifies and says, Loi shonu, we didn't learn that it's going to be valid slaughtering the animal with the knife that's attached to the wall. Elosha sakin lamala. Only if the knife is on the top and its blade is facing down towards the ground. Vitzava behem lamata, and the neck of the animal is beneath it, and then he moves back and forth the animal, but the animal's on the bottom and the knife is on the top. Avasakin lamata, but if the knife is on the bottom, which means its blade is facing upward. Vitzava behem lamala, and the neck of the animal is actually on top of the knife. Then chashinah shem yidris. That's not going to be okay, because then we're concerned that maybe you might be actually pushing down, because the neck of the animal is heavy and it would weigh down on the knife. Maybe it's going to push down too hard. You're not going to have this back and forth to make it a valid shechita. That's not okay. On that is the Gemara. How could you say this? But Vokatani, we had learned in the previous daf that the Braisa was saying that something that's attached to the, whether it's detached or attached, the shechita is going to be kasher. And the Brisa said, Bein shasaka lamata b'tzava b'ema l'mala, and this is whether the knife is on the bottom and the naked animal is on the top. Bein shasaka lamata b'tzava b'ema l'mata, and whether the knife is on the top or on the bottom. So you see that even if it's mechuber, like this case of the knife and the wool, it's kasher even if the knife's on the top, bottom, and the animal's on the top. So how could you say it's only kasher if the animal's on the bottom and the knife is on the top? So Amrav Zirdi says, not difficult from the Brisa, because litzdad in katani. The Brisa said two different cases, that each case has two things, and it's only on alternates, which means to say, this that the beginning of the Brisa said, that the shechit is kasher with something, whether detached or attached. As we said, bakol sheikh, and you can slaughter with everything, whether it's detached or attached. And then it goes and says later on, and that the slaughtering is kasher, whether the knife is on the top or on the bottom. And that says Rav Zid, that's not going back on both cases of detached and of attached. Rather, one is going on detached and one is going on attached, as he explains. Sakin lamata b'tzava b'ema l'mala. Yeah, it's okay, even if the knife is on the bottom and the animal is naked on the top, but that's only on the previous case of betulish, when that knife is detached. When a person's holding onto the knife, yes, on the bottom and he's slaughtering, and the animal's hanging in the air on the top, but the person's moving the knife back and forth, then we're not concerned that's going to weigh down. Then that's kosher even if the knife's on the bottom. But this that the Brisa had said, saka lamala v'tzava b'ema l'mata, that's okay even if the knife, when it said that the knife, that if the knife's on the top and the animal's on the bottom, that's where it's even going to be b'mechuber, even if it's attached. So yes, the attached is good, and the knife in the bottom is good, but in different cases. If the knife is detached, then the knife could be on the bottom. If it's the case of attached, which is a chiddush, but it's kosher, then it's only if the knife's on the top and the animal's on the bottom. Or a papa gives a different approach. He says, no, you don't have to give a contrived answer that to say that it's what's called it's daden. Because the simple understanding of the Brisa is that no, both are going on both. It's even going when it's attached to the wall, when the animal's on the top or the animal's on the bottom. And still it's not going to be difficult on Ravanan. Because this that we learned, that if it's attached to the wall, it's going to be kosher even if the knife's on the bottom and the animal's on the top, which Ravanan said not. Says Rav Papa, is not difficult because the Brisa talking about ba'ifa, by birds, the kol, which they're light. And therefore, although it says behemoth over there, that's not precise. Because actually by behemoth, like Rav Zvid had said, it's going to be forbidden because you might do drisa. This that the Brisa is saying that it's kosher b'mechuber, even the animal on the top, was specifically what type? We're talking about birds and not behemoths or chayes. Going back to one of the teachings of our Mishnah and what we mentioned in the previous daf regarding slaughtering with a reed. So Amar Rav Chizda, Amar B'Yitzchok, Vamilon, some say B'masnitetan, we learn the Braisa, Hei Dvarm Nemer B'Kray Mishlokana, the five halachas that were said regarding the stalk of a reed. First of all, Ein Sheikh Deba, we don't slaughter with it. Ve'ein Malamba, we don't circumcise a child with it. Ve'ein Mechatzchem Baba, so we don't cut meat with it. Ve'ein Mechatzchem Bashanam, we don't use it as a toothpick to go ahead and clean out our teeth. And we don't wipe with it. Now, the reason for all these five halachas is because when you push a stalk of a reed, so then different twigs, the different splinters start splintering out from that. And, for example, by circumcision, that could be definitely dangerous to the child because it could pierce the member and make him into a kroy shavcha, which would distort his male member. And by slaughtering, there's a problem because it might make a hole in the simonim in one of the pipes and make the animal a treifa. So too, by wiping oneself, as the Gemara initially assumes that it's regarding wiping oneself at the rectum, it might make a hole in one of the tissues in the rectum. So therefore, this is a dangerous thing to use. And therefore, in these five things, you're not allowed to use the stalk of a reed. So the Gemara asked right away, Ain't Sheikh the Ba? The Brisa says, you can't slaughter with a kremish lakana. But Tanya, but we learned in the Brisa, that says, Bakol Sheikhtim, with everything you could slaughter, Bein Mitzar, whether with a rock, Bein Mitzchuchas, whether with a glass, Bein Mitzchuchas, whether with the stalk of a reed. So my papa says, not difficult, because B'simayna Da'agma. The Brisa is talking about where it's permitted, is when you're taking this type of this grass that grows in the swampy waters, where that type of a reed, when it dries up, is sharp, and it cuts, and there it doesn't splinter off when you push it. That's when you're allowed to. But the regular stalk of the reeds, that has this problem, and that you're not allowed to slaughter with. Now, the next halacha the Brisa says was, Ve'im echatchem babasar, you're not cut meat with it. However, because it could get into the meat, and one's going to eat it, it's going to be dangerous, very pointy. But Rav Papa mechatach ba'kir b'dagam, he would still use the stalk of the reed to cut the fish intestines, because the intestines are very clear, it's glassy, and if a splinter would get into it, you'd be able to see it, and you'd be able to take it out. It wouldn't be dangerous. So to Rabbi Bar Avuna Mechatach Ba'Oifa, he would use the stalk of the reed to cut chicken, to cut birds, because they're rachach, it's soft. You don't have to press it so hard when you're cutting it, and therefore it's not going to make the pieces splinter off, and if you don't have that problem by regular meat, which is tough, then you're going to push it, it's going to splinter out, then you have that problem. Now the Braisa also said, V'imekanchaba, one's not allowed to wipe with it. So on that is the Gemara, why do you have to say you can't wipe with it? Because there's this danger of the splinters coming out. Typically, Misham Damamar, you should say you can't wipe with it for a different reason. That which the master says, I'm a kanech bedavisha or shall let this boy. Someone wipes himself but with something that the sun has been shining on it. That's problematic as shinib nashus. That causes that the teeth of his rectum, which those like teeth-like tissue that attaches his rectal area to the bones, that they fall out, meaning they're dangerous for that reason. So I have to say because of the splinters, simply it's problematic because it's out in the open and the sun shines down on it. So my puppy says, you're right. The halacha we're talking about wiping is not wiping by the rectum where one relieves himself. Rather, kinuch pimaka kermin. We're talking about wiping the opening of a wound. That is a problem because you don't have that halacha of something dabashar or shalatis, but it's only for wiping by the karkashtam. Rather, what we're talking about over here is by a wound, then because it's a dangerous thing, it could splinter off. Therefore, that's one of the five things that the kremish alkana is not supposed to be used for. Now, the Mishnah had said, we have said these enigmatic words, hakol sheichten, everything slaughters, ul'olam sheichten, and we could always slaughter. Now, the Gemara explains, this that says hakol sheichten is really difficult because we really opened up the Masechta, the beginning of the Perek, with the same words, hakol sheichten, as the title of our Perek is, which we said that means everyone could slaughter, which we said comes to include even those like Ukuti and Yisrael Mumur and someone that's Tame regarding Chulin. We already said what means everyone could slaughter. So what does our Mishnah mean says hakol sheichten? So explains the Gemara, what our Mishnah means to say is hakol bishchita. What it means to say is everything, meaning it's the subject, not the one who's doing the shchita, meaning everything needs to be slaughtered. What that means to say, what's I coming to include is vafilo oif, even fowl. Meaning even though the pasuk does not say explicitly shchita regarding birds, it says regarding animals, that's the chiddush, the Mishnah saying hakol sheichten, everything needs slaughtering, even birds. And the Mishnah then says lo'olam sheichten, that it's always permitted to slaughter and to eat. Says the Gemara, Man Tana, who's the Tana of a Mishnah that requires us to tell that a Jew is permitted to always slaughter and to eat? Amar Rabbi says, Rabbi Shmuel, it's going like Rabbi Shmuel. It's kind of like we learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk says in the Devarim that Ki Yarchav Hashem Lekech Es Gavulcha Kasha Dibalach, when Hashem is going to expand your boundary, well, like He told you, and you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have the whole land of Canaan, V'amartin, you're going to say, Oich Labasa V'gam, I want to eat meat. So that's what you could do. You could slaughter the meat and you could eat it. Now, what's this Pasuk telling us? Rabbi Shmuel Lemi says, the pasuk is not coming to tell us. Just to tell us that actually that it was going to be permitted for them to eat meat of desire when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they could eat meat to their heart's desire without bringing that animal as a carbon to then be able to eat the meat. Why is the pasuk have to tell us that? Because in the beginning, when they were in the midbar in the desert, when the Mishkan, when the tabernacle was erected, it actually was forbidden for them to partake of meat of desire, meaning they couldn't eat meat that wasn't, let's say, the meat of a carbon shlamim. And if they would slaughter an animal without bringing it as a carbon, they actually were liable for karas, as the pasuk says in Meyukri Yitzayin. The Pesach Oil Moed Le'evi, if you don't bring it to entry the Oil Moed, and you bring your own sacrifice, you slaughter your own animal, you're chayiv for liability. So that's what the halacha tells us, that although originally it was forbidden for them to just eat meat and slaughter, there was no chulin, but Meshenichnesu La'aretz, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and then they're already too far from the altar because Eretz Yisrael is very large. So Hutalem, it was permitted for them from this pasuk to slaughter Basar Taiva, meat of desire. When they just wanted to desire, they could go ahead and make their own shchita, which is like Archulin, and eat that meat. Now, the continuation of the statement is not Rabbi Shmuel himself, but rather Rabbi is saying, who he wants to explain the halacha of a Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel, and he says, and that's why the Tana of a Mishnah, who is Rabbi Shmuel, says, La'olam sheichetin, that you could always slaughter. Because so that you shouldn't say, oh, ba'achshav shagalu, now that the Jewish people are back out of Eretz Yisrael, that they went into exile, so yachol yachzu le'isur and harishin. So you would think they're now back to their original prohibition like they were before they came into Eretz Yisrael, that they cannot eat basar taiva, you cannot eat your own meat of desire, that's not a carbon. That's why it says, Rabbi, that's why it says that you could always slaughter, you could still eat basar taiva even now that the Jewish people are in exile. However, Maskelar Yisav asked on his interpretation that says, that's what the Mishnah means when it says you could always slaughter. But the problem is, the way you're describing it, interpreting it, it's not really coming to tell us anything regarding the laws of slaughtering. It's rather coming to tell us regarding the laws of permissibility of eating meat out of Eretz Yisrael. It should have said that a person could always slaughter and eat. How could you leave alone the primary halacha, which is the eating part, and only say the slaughtering part? If it's not talking about the eating part, obviously it's coming to tell us halacha regarding shechita, and not like you're interpreting regarding shechita and achila. Moreover, why would the Mishnah have to tell us this idea? To the contrary, why would, like you assumed, entertain to say that, oh, once we're back out of Eretz Yisrael, we go back to the original prohibition that we can't eat basar taiva? But no, to the contrary. Meikara, originally when they were in the desert, my time it's, why was it forbidden for a person just to slaughter his own animal and eat chulin animals? Mishum to have a mekarva le mishkan, because they were close to the mishkan, so very easily they could have fulfilled, you want to eat meat, bring it as a carbon, and then go ahead and sacrifice the blood and the fats, and then eat the meat. Now, Ulub Saif, at the end, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, and then the land of Eretz Yisrael was very, very large, so my time ishtru, why was it then permitted for them to go ahead and slaughter their own animals, not as a carbon? Because they were very far from the tabernacle, they were very far from the base of Megdish, and since you're very far, you can't come to your slime every day, but we have to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper day, we eat meat. So that's why it became permitted. So David says, Rabbi Yisav, as we continue the top of Yitzayin and Al, so the Koshkin Hashtar, to the contrary, for sure now when we're in exile, that the Archikul Utfei, we're in the diaspora, we're even further away. So of course it would be permitted. You can't say it's Rabbi Shmuel, and we have to tell you, Lo'im Sheikhatin, that you could always slaughter Basa Taiva. Of course, it even has more rationale to say that you could. So we didn't think, we would not have thought that you couldn't, that you have to say that you are. So Elam Rabbi Yisav rather gives a different interpretation. Says Rabbi Kivahi, our Mishnah saying Lo'el Mishaychetin is Rabbi Kiva. The time like learn the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, going on the same context, in Devarim it says, Ki yirchak mimcha hamakim, when the place, referring to the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be far from you. Asher yivcha Hashem lekecha losam shmei sham, which Hashem, your God, will choose to place His name over there, meaning, because everyone's going to be spread out amongst the whole Eretz Yisrael, and you'll be far from the Beis HaMikdash. Then, v'zavachtim ibkarcha mitzayncha, then you could slaughter from your cattle and from your flock. Meaning, you could go ahead and slaughter your own chul and meat. So Rabbi Kiva Aime says, Loi ba'akasa, the pasuk is not telling us, El alas lehen bas nechira. What it's actually telling us is to say that it's forbidden to eat meat that was just cut, that was just pierced, and not slaughtered. Because that's what the pasuk is really saying. It's saying, Ki yichak b'mcha makam, when you're very far away, because you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, and you're far from Yerushalayim, then v'zavachta mebkarcha mitzayncha, then you have to slaughter. What do you mean? Because Shabbatchila, actually, originally when the Jews were in the Midbar, in the desert, Hutalehen Bas Nechira, it was actually permitted for them to eat meat that they just tore open. And that's what we learned from this Pasuk. Because it's only saying, Ki Yirchak V'Zavachta, when you're far, then you slaughter. The inference is, up until now, they weren't commanded regarding the laws of slaughtering an animal. But, Mishenichnesu La'aretz, once they entered Eretz Yisrael, Neslehen Bas Nechira then became forbidden for them just to tear open and rip open the simonim of an animal. So therefore, the Achshav Shagol, and this is what Rav Yosef is explaining now that the Jews are in exile, Yochel Yachzul Atein Rishon, you would think they go back to their original permissible situation, which is the same idea. In Eretz Yisrael, when you're far from the Beis HaMikdash, but you're in Eretz Yisrael, when Hashem brings you there and He chooses the place of the Beis HaMikdash, that's when you have to do the Zavachta. But just like when they were in the Midbar, they could just tear it open, they don't have to do an actual slaughtering, and that was permitted. Now when we're back out of Eretz Yisrael, you would think that we could just rip open the animal simonim, the two windpipe and the food pipe, and it'd be permitted. And that's what it means when it says always slaughter. Not as a permissibility, but actually like he's saying for Rabbi Kiva, always a requirement. We can't do bas nechira, has to be bas shechita, you always have to slaughter an animal. Even now, when we're back out of Eretz Yisrael, it still requires slaughtering an animal, and it cannot be nechira as the Jews were in the Midbar.